You are listening to the Gateway Church located in Ferrisburg, Michigan. You can learn more about us by visiting thegateway.church or like and follow us on Facebook, where you can watch full services, keep up with all that is going on, and get connected.
And on that note, we are going to finish today. Today's the last message, but not the last event for Made to Worship. Today's the last message, but not the end of the series. We will finish on May 26th, and on that day, we will be praying for Jessica and for me. We will be heading on sabbatical in June and July, and some of you already knew that. We've made that known before, but we're excited to be able to kind of just be sent in that way. And the leadership team is excited to do that. Well, listen, this Made to Worship series has been so timely, so important. And the reason is because worship is so important. What we just did this morning in corporate worship is important, but the way we live our lives is important. And we want to grow in our understanding of worship, grow in our expression of worship, and then grow in our experience overall. And so what we've decided, what we had planned, was to take a week on each of these to say who, what, when, where, why, and how does it all work. And today, our focus is on the how of worship. And the answer to how to worship is in a single word, and it's not an easy word, but it's the word sacrifice. Everyone turn to your neighbor and say, it's sacrifice. Yeah, and we're going to get there, but before we do, it's Mother's Day, and for all the moms in the room, for the moms online, I know my mom was either on first or second service, I'm not sure, but either way, I love you, Mom, and I'll be calling you later, and I'll see you on Tuesday, and we'll celebrate in person, because it's, for our family, it's wedding week, and some of you guys knew that we had a wedding coming. It's super, super excited. You guys aren't excited at all. No, but when I think of Mother's Day, how many know it's not a far jump to think of sacrifice in Mother's Day? If you're a mom in the room, I see all the moms' heads going, yep, that's about right. If you're not a mom, you know, we don't get it fully, but my understanding is that the life of a mom is full of sacrifice. And so I want to just talk about that just for a second before we get to worship and sacrifice. From the time you give birth, whether it was natural, cesarean, or adoption, or foster care, there's sacrifice involved from day one. Whether you're feeding your baby or you're messing with your toddler or you know, trying to figure out what's going on in your teenager's brain, there's sacrifice. Amen. Moms, if you've lost some sleep, that invaluable commodity, you know what I'm talking about. Jessica, it's interesting. Jessica, when we had little kids, you know, she would bump me and say, hey, you know, go, you know, change, you know, the diaper or whatever in the middle of the night. But we lost a lot of sleep. But moms, you do that in particular, even more so than most dads. And Jessica, you'd think that, okay, that's like for 1 year, you know, like the first year. But no, even with adult kids, when Logan was still at home, Jessica wouldn't sleep until he would get home. Or Reagan's living with us right now for the next week or so. Jessica has a hard time sleeping until everyone's home. How many moms know what I'm talking? Yeah, you. I see you. Yeah, mothers sacrifice when you're sick or when there's sickness in the house. At least at our house, it's like, Mom, no one's ever asking for me. It's just that's just the way it is. You sacrifice your bodies again, whether biological, foster, adoptive. You're exhausted many times. I was thinking about my grandma who's passed a few years back, but my grandma was the best, and we got some grandmas in the house. You'll relate to this. My grandma, once in a while, she would say, hey, let's go down to the convenience store. We'll get some candy. And so we'd walk. It's about half a mile or so. And my grandma, she was a hefty woman, but I didn't really understand this, but she would say, you guys walk on the inside. I'll be the bumper. So like if a car was coming, she would take the hit first. And I'm like, that's a great grandma. That's a great mother. That's just the way it is. Mothers, you sacrifice your time. Your time is not your own. Your favorites, you often will sacrifice. Everyone else comes first. And sometimes even your future, it seems like it's a life of sacrifice, but it's worth every second. All the moms in the room say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That was pretty good. Better than first service. And when it comes to stewardship, like these kids, this goes for moms and dads, like they are ours, right? We have the first 20 years or so to entrust, and our kids, their souls are eternal. Our kids are the only thing we can take with us for eternity. So let's just remember what Proverbs 22:6 says. Direct your child on the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. That's a word for some moms in the room. I know that sometimes kids will get squirrely and go off the course, but just continue to lock into that. I love that. We know that motherhood is hard work from diapers to all the years of discipline, but the rewards are eternal. Galatians 6:9 says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, you will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. And so this morning, I want to pray for the moms, the grandmas, and future moms, and just for the ladies in general, would you indulge me? Say, Lord, I pray that you would just do a mighty work, Lord, in our moms today. I pray that if there are moms here that are feeling tired or worn out, Lord, I pray they would continue on the good path. Lord, I pray that their eyes would be fixed on you, that you would sweep down and just fill them with strength. And Lord, I pray for the moms that are struggling today. I pray for the moms that are celebrating today. And Lord, I pray for the families that have lost a mother or a grandmother recently. Lord, I pray that you would be with them as well. And God, we just thank you for the sacrifice of these great women. And Lord, we don't take it for granted. And today we celebrate them. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you haven't called your mom yet today, do so. Josiah Swanson. All right, just kidding. All right. Well, it's not all about moms. Today we're going to finish our series on worship. And the question we're asking is how to worship. And the answer I already said earlier was sacrifice. And what I want to do over the next couple minutes is to take the Old Testament look, a New Testament look, and really focus on Jesus. And then today, what does sacrifice look like in our worship? And so let's just jump in. On the Old Testament side, when we think of sacrifice, what should come to your mind is to kill or to slaughter. And yes, that is true. There was a lot of dead animals in the Old Testament. And what's interesting is that worship, that sacrifice, was related to the sin nature that every single one of us have. That sacrifice was a covering, a payment for sin. That is where our worship begins, is when we ask for forgiveness, when there's repentance. Now, today we don't blood sacrifice, we'll see that. But I'm curious, does anyone know when or where the first sacrifice was in Scripture? Some of you got your hand up. You might know. It was right after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. And they were cast out of the garden for their own good, by the way. And the fun fact is that Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, it says, and the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife. In order for that to happen, an animal had to die. There had to be a sin. There had to be a covering. Blood had to be shed. That was the first sacrifice. And from that moment forward, you get to the law of Moses and things like that, where we get some real detail. But there was rules around sacrifice, even from that early time with Adam and Eve. There was an established place to worship, an established time to worship, an established sacrifice. In other words, a right way to do it. Let's look at it. Genesis chapter 4. So right after the fall, Genesis 3, Genesis 4, we now see Adam and Eve. They procreate. Let's look at it. It says, and Adam had sexual relations with his wife, Eve, and she became pregnant. When she gave birth to Cain, she said, "The Lord, with the Lord's help, I have produced a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother and named him Abel. So Cain and Abel, the first brothers, are on the scene. It says, when they grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, so again, there was a time for worship and harvest, presented some of the crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lamb of his flock. That's going to be important, the firstborn. And the animal was sacrificed, there was blood shed. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. "Why are you so angry?" the Lord said to or asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right." So there was a right way to sacrifice. And then it says, but if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. You say, why was it better for Cain for Abel to blood sacrifice one of the lambs, or for Cain to bring just produce and sacrifice that to Jesus? Well, or to God. There was rules, there was protocol, there was expectations for what worship would look like. Answering the how. It wasn't just preference. It wasn't like Cain could just say, "Well, I prefer to give this." Abel said, "Well, I'll prefer to do this." No. And the same is true today when it comes to our lives. We need to follow some basic ideas of what worship is. And worship starts with our repentance. And in that day, there had to be blood that needed to be shed. Now today, we call it a lifestyle of worship, and that's where we're headed with the message. And so our giving and our bodies and our serving and really every part of our lives is affected by our worship. But today, there's still a sacrifice of worship. And Abel, it continues to be an example to us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 says, "It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead," I mean, way in history, "he is still speaking to us as an example of faith." And we need to heed his example and understand that there's a right way and a wrong way to do that. And so in the Old Testament, when we look at sacrifice, there's a lot we could say. I mean, there you could spend an entire series, 13 weeks, talking about Old Testament sacrifice. But for today, we understand that worship starts with our repentance, and that repentance required lots of blood in the Old Testament. Let's fast forward to the New Testament. What did sacrifice look like in the New Testament? Well, as we read Scripture, Jesus became our sacrifice. And he became that once and for all. He was a perfect lamb, sacrificed, died on a cross. We just celebrated that in communion time. He took our place. And one of the greatest spots to look at that in its entirety is in Hebrews chapter 10. It says this. It says, "The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices," everyone say sacrifices, "the sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Skip forward to verse 10. It says, for God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ. Once and for all time. Under that old covenant, the priest would stand and minister before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifice again and again, which can never take away sin. So it was just temporary, the Old Testament way. But our high priest, that's Jesus, offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sin, good for all time. Then he sat down at the place of the honor at the right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we become perfection. We get covered in the blood of Jesus, and we are clothed in righteousness. So when Jesus looks at us, it's as if we have never sinned. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. So he says, this is a new covenant I will make with my people on the day, that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart, and they will write them on their minds. Then he says, I will never again remember their sins and their lawless deeds. And this is the key. And when sins have been forgiven, verse 18, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. Aren't you glad we don't have an altar? I mean, we have an altar here, but we don't have a place to, you know, sacrifice animals and, you know, just all the mess. I am. The point is that the basis for all worship is the sacrifice of Jesus. Moving forward from that point on, there was no further need for blood to be shed. It is by him, that's Jesus, in him, with him, to him, and for him that we offer our sacrifice of worship. And it's not just worship like the experience. It's our lives. It's not just even our emotion or feeling. It's in the depth of our being, who we are. We were made to worship, and we should worship Jesus. It's always about Jesus. And even if you're experiencing less than what you've expected or what you're wanting in this life, worship Jesus. You praise, you worship him despite your circumstances. The Psalms say that we bring a sacrifice of praise. No matter what we are facing, it's all and always about Jesus. So in the Old Testament, there was a lot of bloodshed. Jesus, he shed his own blood, and that stopped the bloodshed. And from moving forward, what does sacrifice look like today? Well, the answer to how to worship brings us full circle from the very beginning of this series back to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. How many are thankful for what God has done for you? Yeah. Let them, that's your body, be a living and holy sacrifice. Our life, our body, everything within us becomes a holy sacrifice, a living sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. This is the answer. And so you look at it. God's people, the Israelites, they sacrificed. Jesus, on the cross, he sacrificed. And today, we sacrifice. We are a living sacrifice, meaning that everything we do is for the glory of God. We give our best to him in everything. And there's a great example of someone that gave their absolute best, and it's found in John chapter 12. I want to read the story. It says 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. That's going to become important in just a second. It says a dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. Let's just pause here for a second. Some of you know this story, and it's so familiar that you might just blow by and forget how awkward and how weird that story is. That she would take a jar of perfume, pour it out, and then take her hair and wipe Jesus' feet. Anybody think that's weird with me? Thank you. All right, I'm not the only one. All right, okay. Then Judas Iscariot, which, by the way, if I was there, I might have responded like Judas Iscariot, okay? The disciple who had, but I'm not a thief, okay? So you're going to, I don't want to be just like Judas, but it says, the disciple who would soon betray Jesus said, that perfume was worth a year's wage. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor. Not that he cared about the poor. He was a thief, and since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some himself. But Jesus replied, he stood up for Mary, said, leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. This story is a picture of extravagant worship. I mean, talk about sacrifice. And if you read this and really try to understand, you say, you might ask a question, why this sacrifice? And may you even say, why this waste? It seems like too much. And sometimes in our day-to-day, sometimes on a Sunday morning, we'll see people raise their hands to the Lord. And you might look and say, why are they doing that? It seems a little much. Or you might see someone kneel down and worship or come to the altar. Or you've seen people lay out in the spirit. Or they might get excited and dance or clap or things like that. And you say, man, that seems a little extreme, right? Why that kind of, it seems like too much. And I just want to warn you not to judge someone else's worship. Amen? You don't know what their warfare is, what they've gone through, or what they're going through. And that brings me to what was happening in this story for Mary. Who was Mary, for example? And why was this so extravagant? And what can we learn for today? By the way, 1 year's wage today for household income is average in the U.S., depending where you look, is about $59,428. Can you imagine a bottle of perfume that was that valuable, just being poured out? It's a lot. But to get the answer to why Mary and who Mary was, you got to go back to John chapter 11. And this story is told in Matthew, Mark, and in John. I don't think Luke covers this. But in Matthew, in Mark, it doesn't name the woman, but John, he says, no, this is Mary. And Mary was the brother or the sister of Lazarus. And Lazarus was the man who died, who Jesus wept over because he had lost his friend. And not only was Jesus weeping, Mary and Martha, they were bankrupt. They had lost their brother, but Jesus. Think about the dead things in your life, the shame, the pain, other things that you're hanging on to or you're holding on to, but Jesus, right? What happened in John chapter 11? Mary's brother was buried in the tomb for days, and Jesus called him out. He was resurrected, and now they're throwing a party, and Mary, she sees this, and she's like, I don't care what anyone else says or what anyone else does. She's like, I'm going to worship Jesus. And she did it in a way that she knew she could. And it was extravagant. And she poured out this sacrifice. And it's a picture of what our lives, what our lifestyle of worship should look like. I want you to think about the next week. Just what does your week look like? For some of you, there's going to be work involved. For some of you, school. Others of you, you think about the sports or extracurricular. We got a whole group over here that are like mega fit from Planet Fitness. And so, think about your working out. For others of you, well, we're going to have a wedding this week. So for my family, we're thinking wedding. That's all that's on our brain, and let me tell you. For others of you, maybe you've got a doctor's appointment, or maybe you've got surgery, or you've got, you know, something with the kids, or whatever your week is going to look like, we are called to worship in and through those things. 1 Corinthians 10:31 makes it really clear. This is an idea of worship that we need to hold on to. It says, so whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Remember what we said worship is. It's our worship. Worship is our response to God for who he is and for what he's done, right? And so for whatever we do, whether we're eating, drinking, working, playing, working out, raising kids, taking a vacation, going to the doctors, whatever we do it all for the glory of God. That is our worship. And by the way, if we don't, Scripture says, the rocks will cry out. So how do we worship? We don't let someone else worship for us. We're each responsible. It's not a spectator sport. There's participation. Not only corporately when we come together, but individually. We need to teach. We need to model what worship looks like. And the word that captures all of it is sacrifice. Whatever you do, whatever you enjoy the most, you bring a sacrifice of worship to those things. And that is what we were made to do. I'm going to ask the worship team to come and just understand that our worship starts with repentance. Old Testament, there was an animal that was killed to cover. The blood represented a covering. It was a substitute. It was temporary. And then, of course, Jesus, is our perfect sacrifice. Once and for all, Hebrews 11. And today, there's still a sacrifice that comes, that our lives are not our own. Your life is not your own. You are called to worship the Lord. That's your sacrifice, that you would honor God, bring glory to his name in everything say and do. And again, it starts with our repentance. And I'm just curious, let's leave the lights on just for a second. If you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, we want to offer you the free gift of salvation on Mother's Day 2024. The Bible's super clear that we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and we all need a Savior. But Jesus is not going to force himself on us. We need to accept that free gift of salvation. And when we do, he rushes in and he takes away our sin and he forgets it. Remember, I read that in Hebrews chapter 11? He takes it as far as the east is from the west. There's not one of us in this room that deserves that kind of forgiveness, but that's the gift that's on the table. And so today, wonder who in this room needs that forgiveness. Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes here for a moment? This is a moment just between you and the Lord. If you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I need that kind of forgiveness, would you just lift your hand right where you are? I'm not going to call you out or embarrass you, But who in the room? Yes, I see a couple hands in the center section, in the back, one up here in the front. Yes. Who else saying, yeah, that's me. Today, I want to get my life right with the Lord. For some that maybe raise your hand, this is a coming back to Jesus, and that's okay. Who else may need to come back and say, you know what, I need to start fresh today. Slip up your hand. Yeah. For the sake of the three and maybe others that are online. And by the way, if you're online, you can just type in the chat that you need Jesus, and we will follow up with you 100% of the time. Just a quick story. You can get your eyes on me here for a second. Josh, your mom was online a couple weeks ago in Texas and gave her heart to Jesus, and we followed up, and man, it was incredible. And that was the first time that we've seen that happen exactly, and how exciting. And so thanks for inviting her to be online with us. But for those that raised your hand, I just want to lead us in a prayer. Can we just say this together? Say, dear Lord, please forgive me for all my sins. Cleanse my heart. I believe that you died on the cross for me. And today I put my faith in you. Help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to ask that you would stand, and I want us to prepare to respond to the Lord. This is our moment. And I would just want you to imagine that even in this moment, that your worship is sacrifice to him. And I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what you're facing, but God, he loves it when we lift our hands to him. Like a baby or a child lifts the hands to a mom, and that mom is like, come on, baby, and picks him up and hugs him, right? That's what God wants to do for you today. And even for those moms that you're saying, well, sometimes they don't always feel like it. I just want to give this picture. Sometimes worship, and you're like in this, it doesn't matter what you feel like. God still deserves our glory and honor. And for those of the moms that are here, you're saying, you know, you got up in the morning or in the middle of the night and to feed your baby. How many know that as much as you hate getting up, once you've got your baby in your hands, the feeling returns and you're like, yeah, this is my baby, right? And sometimes that's like worship. Sometimes you just got to force yourself to do it, and the feeling comes. And we've got an opportunity now. And so I just want us to start with an attitude of surrender, attitude of worship. Would you just join me in just raising your hands to the Lord? And right now, just call out to him. Just tell him. We're going to finish this time with a song called Firm Foundation. And Firm Foundation is in Jesus. That's who all of this is about. It's always about him. Our worship is always for him, to give him all the glory and the honor. With your hands raised, let's just cry out to him. Come on, in your own words to start. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Worship you. We love you, Lord.
Faithfulness, that the God of the universe, the God that created everything, would choose to dwell among us. Jesus, we thank you. Just you coming as a man, that sacrifice, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your faithful obedience, Lord, all the way until your death. Lord, that you were bruised and beaten for our transgressions, and the punishment that brought us peace were upon you, and it is by your wounds, it is by your sacrifice that we are healed. Lord, and we thank you that you're even faithful in your resurrection, that you defeated death, hell, and the grave, that you have ascended and you're seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Lord, we thank you faithfulness in the resurrection. It's because of that faithfulness that we in turn give our lives as a sacrifice. Lord, that we all have something of worth to give. Our time, our talents, our treasure. We just went through a stewardship series, Lord, and we give you those things, Lord. But search our hearts right now for maybe the things that we're keeping close, the things we're holding tightly to, and I pray that we can have that posture of open hands, knowing that you know what's good for us more than we do. That you know what brings us fulfillment more than we do. So, Lord, we live our lives with open hands, laying our families at the foot of the cross, laying our dreams at the foot of the cross, laying our way and our will at the foot of the cross, and in turn, picking up our own crosses and following after you. That, Lord, we're leaving this place into a world that is lost, that is hurting, that is broken, and let us be people that follow in your footsteps, laying our own desires, our own needs aside for the goodness of others and for your glory. Lord, we thank you that you call us to be your ambassadors. We thank you for that burden that we carry. Maybe when we see our family later, or when we go out to eat, or when we go to work tomorrow. Lord, and we know as we pick up our cross, as we leave this place, as we follow after you, we know that you will be with us every single step of the way, before us, behind us, and all around us. Lord, we thank you and we praise you.
Thanks, Bobby. One of our elders has a word, and Dennis, I appreciate your sensitivity, just saying, hey, before we leave, I feel like there's a scripture or two that I just want to share and encourage us in our worship, and so Dennis, I'll let you share, and then we'll respond.
Thank you, Pastor. I was thinking earlier as we were singing and worshiping the Lord, we were singing to Jesus. Shout Jesus in the mountain, shout Jesus in the street. And I was reminded of the Israelites after Moses died. Joshua was called to take Jericho, and as Pastor shared last week, who led the procession but the worshipers, and they marched around Jericho, and after the seventh time they broke the lanterns or whatever they were, the gourds, and then they shouted and the walls came tumbling down. And I was thinking, I'm sure there's somebody here today who's at the end of their rope and just hanging on. I need a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough. And I believe the breakthrough will come as we shout to the Lord. Psalm 47 says, sing to the Lord a new song. No, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. And I believe there's victory in that shout. So this may seem a little bit Pentecostal. So I think let's shout a victory shout to the Lord, and for whoever is just hanging on and needs a victory, let's believe it, that God has got the victory. The victory is waiting. Just shout to the Lord. Can we do that?
Yes.
Okay. Jesus, glory, 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 glory. You are God. You are God. You are great, Lord. You are our victor. We give you praise. We give you praise. You are worthy. The Lord, worthy is the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world.
Amen. Amen. God bless and go in the grace of God. Thank you, Dennis, for that word.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Gateway Church. If you'd like to find out more about our church, such as service times, giving, and ways to get connected, visit us at thegateway.church.